You're listening to Garden Designs with Robert Jennings, live and local, every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. Call or text Robert at 512-836-0590.
Great day to you out there, folks. And boy, it is a great day now. Now that summer is broken, it really has. It certainly, as I said before, it almost broke me working in it all summer this year. But the weather is just absolutely wonderful. We will still be have a few low 90s left for the next few days, and just a few more low 70s at night for the next few days. And then after that, no more 90s during the day and no more 70s at night. So it's just a wonderful time to get out there in the yard and catch up on some cleaning, do some further deadheading and some dividing of things. Again, do your corn gluten or other pre-emergence applications. Start backing off your water. Start diluting or backing off your fertilizations there that you normally do. As always, streaming here on Live and Local on NewsRadioKLBJ.com on your iPhone or Google Play. And you heard the numbers there. If you have any comments or questions, tell me about what's going on in your part of the world at 512-836-0590. And you can text that number as well. And toll free for you out-of-towners, 877-590-5525. As always, flying by the seasonal plans here, your color commentary live and local. It's the power of the flower hour here, the king hibiscus flower hour for both of you flowers and album music lovers. Moving on here to what's greening now, and it's not really greening. I guess I say what's budding now. I've noticed this year I have not had my lion's tail bloom yet, a flower yet. I wonder if anybody else has had that same problem. It may just be a microclimate difference. In my part of the world, I do cluster a whole bunch of things together, and it may not be getting enough sun, but I don't think so. Just can't quite figure it out. It's very big, 4-foot diameter, and just none of the orange beautiful flowers on that yet. And what is budding now? Remarkably, I told you about Brugmansia, angel trumpet vines, the ones that hang down, not detours that stick out, but the 18-inch normally white blossoms, but there's pink, red, yellow, and dwarf blue varieties as well. But these Brugmansias are typically a South Texas thing. And do watch it. You have to keep them away from dogs and don't smell it too much. It does have a tranquilizing effect. I believe I told you the story of 1917 where a town of 60 got a little loopy because some of these got into their water system. But it's an awesome, beautiful, incredible, beautiful plant. And amazingly, it did survive the great freeze out of 2021, and I'm currently seeing on the left side of my koi pond and on the right side, both the white and the pink are starting to show the 10-inch currently green buds that are drooping down, and can't wait to see the flowers on that because it is an incredible thing. Did come back a little bit more stemmy, more tree-like rather than bush-like. The one before was about literally 8 feet at least in diameter, almost just like a huge bush tree, even though it's a vine. And this one's kind of just a few main branches that are sticking up very tall, about 8-10 feet tall, and I can't wait to see that. Casualties, I have none to report, so that's always a good thing. Don't think there will be any more casualties this year. Again, losing, I believe, a total of nine flowers out of the 500 species that I have at my house. Stack of stuff and tips and things. You know, I never really talked about it, animals and insects and things like that, but, you know, with all the things that I do have, there's just tremendous amounts of hummingbirds, all sorts of butterflies, you know, the black-blue butterfly, the reverse swallowtail, the black with yellow swallowtail, and then the yellow with a little bit of black swallowtail. Of course, the butterfly that's always all over the passion flower vines that I have. And dragonflies are always interesting. I have more than most, because of the koi pond. And it's neat to see the pecking order. I believe I mentioned this once before, but you have the brown ones. They have a pecking order by height of where they fly. And if they venture in other areas, they get whacked by the bigger and other different colored dragonflies. The browns are on the bottom, and then the greens are on top of them. And then the blues are on top of them, about at a 4 or 5 foot level. And then up above that are the giant red ones. There's also some blue-green ones that interact. Seems to dominate all of the areas. So always interesting to see that. And moving on to other stack of stuff and tips and things. Talking about deer resistant a little bit, I have mentioned a lot of different flowers and vines that are deer resistant. But I haven't really mentioned that ferns are extremely deer resistant. And also taro or elephant ears. So this is a wonderful way to add to your landscape and your garden designs of incorporating more ferns. And even though ferns can spread, typically keep those in just hanging baskets. But the elephant ears, whether the straight edge one or the curvy leafed one, the one that grows almost straight up rather than the straight edge one, which kind of droops over. And I care a little bit less for that one that droops over, the straight edged one, because it takes up more room. You can't really have things in front of it where it droops over towards the sun. So I really like the curvy one. The curvy one is definitely more expensive. And just joking around here, if you have a problem growing grass in a part of your yard, I'll tell you what to do. Put some edging and make a flower bed out of it. And I can assure you, you are going to have grass in that thing before you know it. Seems like it happens every single time. The only thing I can say to that is do a good job of removing the grass that's there and use 6-inch, not 4-inch edging. It makes all the world of difference. You'll never have a problem in the bed with St. Augustine if you go that deep. With Bermuda, sometimes it can get underneath there and still invade the bed, but you just have to watch it. Driving around town, electronic signs that, you know, do your toll tag or whatever. And oddly enough, here in Austin, I saw a couple of them that said, you know, get your toll tags ready and gig them. I don't think they know what Austin's all about. I don't think Austinites really appreciate gig them. So they might want to change that. Additionally, on Stack Stuff and Tips and Things here, I didn't know this, but did you know Barbados can or does rebloom again? Mine's all reblooming again. I don't know if it's because of the fertilization techniques that I do or not, but I thought they were just a one-and-done type of thing, even though the blooms do last quite a while, but once they go, I thought it was over with. I did pick a few seeds off there, or seed pods, and maybe that helped it, shocked it, and had it rebloom, but it's nice to see the beautiful red and orange colors there. Just a little trick on sharpening some of your scissors and shears in cutting tools and the like. I found it interesting. Saw a little article there about sharpening them up by cutting aluminum foil, putting two or three layers of aluminum foil together and then cutting it. I found that very interesting. I do see we're coming up here on our first break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome to Garden Designs with Robert Jennings on News Radio KLBJ. Call or text Robert with your questions at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, folks. You heard the numbers there. Lines are open at 512-836-0590. Again, you can call or text that number and toll free 877-590-5525. Also, as always, we're streaming here at News Radio KLBJ. Continuing here on Stack of Stuff and Tips and Things, monarchs are on the march, I guess you could call it. But I saw a really neat graphic, looked like heavy rain back on Wednesday on this Pound Radar Omega site north of Abilene, in between, closer to Abilene, but in between Abilene and Fort Worth. Just a huge, gigantic rainstorm, it looked like. Well, it wasn't rain. It was the thousands and tens of thousands of monarch butterflies that were hitching a ride on the strong cold front that we are presently enjoying. And they're obviously on their migration to Mexico. So that was pretty cool seeing them congregated like that. And hopefully we'll be seeing them soon in the coming days or couple of weeks there. Speaking of the weather, the Farmer's Almanac is showing or telling or warning that it will be a cold winter, and they're expecting a similar, I don't want to necessarily say similar, but they're kind of wording it that way. They are saying in January, we could very well experience another blast. So please be aware of that and make preparations for that with mulch and things of that nature. So be thinking about what you can do this year to prepare yourself better. Checking on your greenhouse, you know, duct taping edges, making sure there's no leaks, putting huge mats, quilts or what have you, bedspreads on top of the greenhouse, fortifying the doors, blocking the wind from the north. Lots of little bitty things you can do, and every degree counts. And further proof that it could be a rough winter is El Niño is forming out in the Pacific, and it's when that happens, we usually have a warmer fall. And we have had a warmer fall, haven't we? A warmer fall and a colder winter. So that's further proof. So watch out in that regard. Also, another little thing here on the stack of stuff and tips and things, just joking around. But, you know, one good way to have your neighbors build a privacy fence or shrub at no cost to you. Do you know how to do that? Just do your gardening and mowing naked in your backyard, okay? A little bit early for Halloween, but one little thing I would like to mention that's pretty cool. I wasn't aware of this, but after snapdragons, which the time of the year is coming up here, along with cyclamen and other early winter type of flowers, the snapdragon, after it blooms, it incredibly looks, the remaining bloom or dying bloom looks like a skull. I mean, it's absolutely incredible looking. I never realized that. They hang down a little bit. Maybe that's why I never noticed it. But if you cut one up or off and held it up and looked at it, you will clearly see the two eyes and the nose and the mouth of it, and it's quite remarkable. I did not know that. So a little bit of early Halloween for you there. Moving on to what's coloring now. Again, I do encourage you to call or with any questions you may have. Again, lines are open. And moving on to my next section here, what's coloring now is the Cerebus dragon fruit, the red species, the not blooming a white flower that eventually turns into the fruit. It's quite remarkable seeing that, although the blue daytime version is even more bizarre looking, looks like a red and white squiddish material that is about 10 inches long and incredible red and blue flowers or stubs that come on the edge of the leaves. Very neat. Currently, my red flowering jatropha tree, if you don't know about that, is a really cool dieback brush tree. Comes back every year, definitely winter hardy, but beautiful red flowers, kind of like a firebush in a way as far as the flower itself, that little tubular structure to it. But again, if you ever see one, I encourage you to get one for sure. And that is a jatropha. It's a red flowering jatropha tree. Also, on the west part of my yard in the south, amazingly, a pink dahlia, about 5 inches in diameter. It has buds all over it. It survived the winter, again, because of the soil that I made to where it was, allows the roots to go as deep as possible in the heat of the earth rather than just rocks and caliche and things of that nature that prevents things from enjoying the heat of the earth or surviving from the heat of the earth. It's just incredible, the pink dahlia that I'm looking, or that I have. I guess you'd call it a double blossom. also, Confederate rock rose, the pink version, is going through another round. And I have multiple apricot and double blossom orange hibiscus and hybrids of them in the backyard. I have a really neat 10-year-old giant hibiscus, almost like tree-like, but it's a double blossom sunrise with the orange and yellow all mixed in. There's a sunset one and a sunrise version, and just really cool. Additionally, a giant, as old, 10-year-old giant double blossom orange hibiscus. The blossoms there are like larger than your hand and absolutely beautiful. And these, as far as light and the like, these are on the north part of the house. I presume that's why they're bigger. They get a mostly morning sun. They don't get any afternoon sun, but just extremely healthy looking. 16-year-old plumerias that I have, although the colors aren't currently blooming, but the yellow plumeria that I have seems to just keep on kicking out blossom after blossom.
Welcome to Garden Designs with Robert Jennings on News Radio KLBJ. Call or text Robert with your questions at 512-836-0590.
You heard the numbers there, 512-836-0590, and toll free 877-590-5525. To tell you a little bit about me and my company, RJ Garden Designs, I specialize in coloring up existing yards, providing literally a wall of color, a 360-degree panoramic view of color, every color imaginable of every flower, every vine. I specialize in winter-hardy, tropical-looking plants, both native and adaptive, and everything that I know of from my knowledge from growing in colder climates. And again, I have testified as to everything that survived in my yard and in other places that I've been designing in. I can be reached at rjgardendesigns@gmail.com. I also do koi pond maintenance and the like, and specialize in providing dig drip systems to where each plant is tailored with its own individual water that's hooked up to plugged in with its aquarium tubing next to the metered head, plugged into various hoses or tubing, larger tubing, that then is connected to automatic watering meters that are connected to the water sprickets, and they turn on automatically. So essentially taking care of itself, just have to make a couple adjustments during the year, depending on the heat or when the heat's backing down, to make adjustments on the timer. In fact, this is the time of year where you should, if you have one of these systems on your timer, to be backing off the water by a third, and also coming up here after it gets cooler, further gets cooler here in a few more weeks, start backing the number of cycles every 2 days or what have you. And also check your heads to make sure they're not putting out too much water, because as they cool, sometimes they open up a little bit more and a little bit more water comes out than you would like, or never hurts it really, but it's always nice to save as much water as you can. So this is the time of year to be doing that and monitoring how much water you're putting out on these devices. But again, that's rjgardendesigns@gmail.com. Also a Facebook site, named the same. You can see a lot of my work that I've done for other people. That's at RJ Garden Designs on Facebook. There is a space in between RJ and Garden and Designs. Finishing up real quickly on what's coloring now. I usually don't have annuals, but have some hanging baskets that I did this year, a little bit differently, spread out throughout the yard. And pink vinca is just going like gangbusters, as well as pink and white impatiens and red impatiens. So that's it on that. Continuing here on, I've been talking in the past about tight spaces, and we'll also talk about some other beds at my yard, just to give you ideas of the amount of flowers that you can put together. Just a tight little spot that I have here in one yard is with a deep maroon calla lily with dwarf orange canna, the green leaf version. And then a Mexican or yellow bird of paradise tree, incredibly looking beautiful understory tree. A red bottle brush tree in addition to that, with a double blossom pink Althea Rosa Sharon hibiscus, as well as dark red Chinese fringe, another four species of canna contained by edging, and then a flame acanthus along with that. And then polished off with a Texas red hibiscus for some more height, and then the 4 to 5 foot tall purple Mexican petunia. The colors just look striking together there, along with a red coral bean vine, lion's tail, not currently blooming, wish it was, and then the famous precipitation purple Texas sage bush, and a scarlet salvia, along with a yellow flowering shrub. All of that is in probably just about a 10-foot area, if that. I wanted to back up a little bit here with one other item of stack of stuff and tips and things that you've always maybe wondered about, how to get your poinsettias to flower again. And I have always known that I have been able to do this, and I've been doing some further reading on this. And in the past, I had always thought it required an exact amount of light, 12 inches of darkness and 12 inches of light in order to get them to bloom. But as far as getting them to perfectly time at a certain point of the year to bloom, doing a little reading here, and to trick your poinsettias into holiday bloom, beginning on the fall equinox, which just happened, make sure that the potted plants get 14 hours of darkness for every 24-hour period, and use a water-soluble fertilizer that's only about a quarter strength with every watering, all right? And then when the plants do show color around Thanksgiving, at that point, bring them to bright, indirect sunlight and cut back on the fertilizer. So for those of you that's always, you know, hate to throw away something like I am, and you've never been able to get those to show that beautiful red color, just a little tip there for you, all right? Moving on to a little bit more of my tour de color, so to speak, describing what you can do on various beds. On one bed that I have in the front yard that's on the side of the driveway on a straight bed. It's a three-car garage area, so there's a lot of room to maneuver with various plants, but I have a volunteer confetti lantana, and then a bower vine, which isn't truly winter hardy, but has a beautiful white flower, mandevilla-looking flower with a purple throated in there. Again, it's called a bower vine. And then next to that is a yellow bougainvillea tree. That one is in a pot. Bring that into the greenhouse that I do each year. But very tree-like structure, very lean and thin, and about 6 feet tall. And then in front of that, I have a six-foot variegated green and yellow leaf canna with an orange and yellow butterscotch splashed pattern to it, and that's next to a purple-leaved 7-foot red canna, the King Humphrey versions of cannas, as well as every 18 inches roughly. I have different colored irises, of course not blooming right now, but it's really cool seeing them grow in this mesh of flowers and vines that I'm describing to you. Another volunteer lantana, as well as a couple of volunteer white crepe myrtles from my neighbor's yard. The huge species that he has, it's at least 40 foot tall, and I may have to end up doing something with them because they're a little bit too large, but just incredibly beautiful they were with the blooms this year. And then a soggle palm. And on the other side of that, another one of the white crepe volunteer myrtles. And then a sprawling purple lantana throughout that. A bat flower, I believe I've described before, popping its heads up through the purple lantana. Unfortunately, did have a Mexican fan palm, one of the few deceased items, plants that I had this year. Additionally, purple morning glory mixed in with that. And then a light pink double blossom rose of Sharon. All of that is in about a 20 to 25 foot, 3 foot wide bed with edging. Again, a lot of edging in there, both horizontal and alike, to keep the canna from spreading. I do see we have a couple of callers here. Let's go to Ken in Lake Travis. How could I help you there today, sir?
Ken? Good morning.
Good morning.
I love listening to your show in the mornings. I have a beautiful Rose of Sharon tree, and on the bottom, a couple of branches have developed, which look really nice and are actually flowering already. And I was wondering if there's a way to prune those and replant them and grow another tree.
You know, I've never tried to propagate one. I do know that regular hibiscus, you can kind of do it. And I would presume possibly, I don't know, again, I never tried it, but yes, everything's certainly worth a try. But cut the cut a branch at a, by the way, what color is it? And is it a double blossom or single blossom?
It's a single blossom, and there's a beautiful white flower. It's a gorgeous tree.
Gotcha. Is it red-throated, the white flower red-throated one?
It's kind of like a purple throat, actually.
Gotcha. Well, if you do try this, cut it off at a 45-degree angle. Put a little bit of cinnamon or growth hormone on that, and then cut away the leaves from that 45-degree cut. Take all the leaves off about four to 5 inches from that spot. Cut those away. Cut the buds that's on that particular branch away, because that is taking away energy from making it root. And I would try putting it in water first. I wouldn't try soil, although you may do another one in soil just to see if your luck's better. So I would try that, Ken. Does that help you out there?
That helps me a lot. Could I ask you one other question real quick?
Could you hold on? I do see I'm running long on this break. If you'd like to hold.
Yeah, no problem.
And Sue,
yeah,
I see you there. No, we'll get to you after Ken. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Garden Designs with Robert Jennings on News Radio KLBJ. Call or text Robert with your questions at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, folks. Let's get right back to Ken there. You said you had an additional question. How could I help you there?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm sorry for that. But no. I have a 30-foot pencil fir tree in the backyard. And after the freeze, the bottom half of it, all the leaves and stuff went brown. The top is still green, but the bottom's brown. And when I check the little branches on the bottom, they bend. They don't snap. Now, I've had two people come out. One said that you got to cut it down because it's dead. Another one said give it a shot for next year and see if it's still alive. Any opinion on that?
I agree with the latter. And, of course, this has happened to a lot of the cypress trees as well. And if it's not breaking off, I think those branches are alive and will come back, and the dead parts perhaps will fall off after it goes through another winter, and then next year it'll perhaps green up at that spot. I know it's very aggravating to see that discolorization, the brown along with the green, just going, you know, what can I do? But I would definitely, I don't think it's dead, particularly if it's not, if it's bending and not breaking the branches. And to get some further advice, I would go ahead and get a second opinion on that with Jeff Ferris coming up here at the top of the hour. But I think he would say the same. that a lot of people are really not going to know until next year. And even on some certain species and trees, they really might not know for 2 to 3 years. But I would leave it alone and just see what happens with the spring new growth. Okay?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go with Sue in South Austin. How may I help you there?
Good morning. I'd like to know if you could tell me how to root a plumeria. I know you mentioned it. I have one, and a friend broke off a big old thing, and it's dry at the bottom. It's got, like, 3 leaves at the very top of it. So okay. I'm not sure how I would get it to grow into a plant.
Okay. Depending on how it broke off, it may have not been a clean break, but you need roughly 12, not less than 12, and not really more than 18 inches of that cutting. If you do need to make a new cut to get a fresh, clean cut, not at a 45-degree angle, by the way, but perpendicular, just a straight cut. And if you do have to cut it again, let that callus for a full week. Don't worry about that it's not getting water or anything like that. Remove the leaves, okay? When you do plant it in some soil, you need to get the most, draining medium possible, whether that be perhaps a cactus potting mix, or you can make your own by utilizing going heavy, at least half with perlite, and then potting soil for the rest of it. So that would be the best recommendation on that. The trick is that you do need it to callus that bottom part and dry out. You remove the leaves so it can focus on growing roots and the like. But let it callus for a day, for definitely a number of days, up to a week, and then put it in that mixture that I described.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet, Sue.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Do see we're almost out of time here. I would try to fill up this time with just describing another bed, or perhaps let's back up here. Looking at some text, someone was joking about the Red Raiders, which I am one. I mentioned how I lived in colder climates of Lubbock, wishing me luck today, an Aggie. I guess she liked the gig of comment earlier today. But she was asking about irises and replanting them. And when you do or try to replant them, in her case, out of a pot, you want to break the bulb off or take the bulb out, remove all the debris off of it, cut the leaves all the way off the buds or whatever's remaining there, cut the leaves all the way down to about just 2 to 3 inches of leaf material, and then place that on some paper and let it, just like I was describing on the plumeria, let it dry out for a few days, for 2 to 3 days' time, no water whatsoever on it, again letting it dry out and callus a little bit, and then replant. And when you put them in the soil, don't go deep on them or the bulbs will rot. You literally just barely put them underneath the soil. So just an inch and a half, those bulbs, and just maybe a half inch to an inch of dirt on top of the bulb at best. You almost can just set them in the ground on top, but not really. They'll be a little bit weak like a dahlia if you don't plant a dahlia bulbs further down than what it says. But just make sure you don't put them too deep. That's my best advice on that. It looks like we're running out of time here. I do want to thank Sam, our producer, as always. And also, looks like we have a producer in training, Tiger. And I appreciate his help as well today. And as always, we are streaming at newsradioklbj.com. And do check out my Facebook site at RJ Garden Designs. We got Jeff Ferris coming at the top of the hour, and I will see y'all next week. Y'all have a great weekend.